Just to confirm, you're here with us?
Yes. Yep.
Beautiful. We are set and ready to roll for our Media Bits Power Hour, an educational teleseminar for those of you in the media space, whether your circulation is free, paid, or controlled, whether you are talking about your print publication, your e-newsletter, your digital footprint, whatever that might be, you're in the right spot from that perspective, and we are delighted that you are here with us. Whether, as we're getting settled in, we're always going to encourage you to find a quiet spot. Jed, pre-pandemic, we'd say close your office door or go to your conference room, but realizing for those of you who may or might or are working remote, it might just be close a bedroom door or find a closet or maybe a bathroom, someplace quiet, you get our drift, so you can make and take notes. It's not an accident that we don't put something up on the screen during the during the course of this teleseminar, because simply the very best in adult learning and research says the more notes you take, the more notes you make, the more we transfer the knowledge to you, hence the coach and coaching approach that we have utilized over the last 25 years. Today we're going to be talking about raisins and grapes and watermelons, and Smart Match Alliances are going to bring all of that here together for you. Before we dive into our topic, we're just going to do a couple of just brief introductions of Jed, myself, what we do, our passion for the space and sector, and our absolute joy and delight in helping you with your media ad sales. So Jed, how about some opening words about you and Media Bids and all you've got cooking? I'll say a few words about Power Hour, and then we'll launch into our topic today, okay?
Okay, great. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of Media Bids, and we are a company that has been around for 20 years. We are we're wholly devoted to generating revenue for publications through print ads, and we do that in a lot of different ways. But all of it is sort of centered around the idea of tracking the results that print generates, and showing advertisers the quality that that print can produce for them. The pandemic has created huge problems for certain business verticals, but it's also created enormous opportunities for many different verticals, and we're seeing, and publications who are using Media Bids are seeing enormous success during this challenging time, because the advertisers that they're focusing on are relevant to the time period. So we encourage you to check us out, to give us a call, find out more about Media Bid. You can visit our website or call us anytime. We love working with publications, and we're an enthusiastic ally of publications. We really thrive on creating a scenario where publications are generating revenue from the ads that they're running from Media Bits. So I'll turn it over to Ernest, who does a great job with these teleseminars and brings an enormous amount of knowledge to the table. I always learn a lot, and I'm looking forward to learning about fruit and sales today.
Fruit first, then sales?
Which I currently know nothing about. So.
we have a wide array of fruit we'll be covering.
Right.
But before we do that, a few words about Media Bids. To each of you and all of you, to those of you who already work with Jed and the team at Media Bids, you know that they deliver on their promise. To those of you who have not had the opportunity, we passionately encourage you to go into MediaBids.com, go see the amazing work that they're doing. Jed and his team have the most unique view, in my opinion, of anyone in the media space behind the scenes. They're able to look at the ad results across tens of thousands of magazines, hundreds of thousands of ads, millions and millions of inbound calls, leads, prospects, and sales that's generated over the last 20 years. They have a very unique view. Work with them, talk to them about what you've got in terms of your publication, and they'll share with you the ways that you could partner with them. So just a fabulous story. So Jed, always a pleasure. By way of introduction, my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I love the advertising sales space. Jed, you know I've done this since 1986, launched three of my own publications, was a leader in a $1 billion media group, and then we launched Power Hour in 1995. This is our 25th year anniversary, and boy, has it been fun working with media teams all over the globe and having coached and worked with coming up on almost 3,000 advertising sales companies, teams, and leaders, 14 time zones around the world. And typically, Jed, as you know, in April and May, we're in the UK. We have a furnished apartment that we stay in Ireland and Dublin. We're in and out of Europe working with our media clients. Then we go into Canada, month of September, with our client in Montreal across Canada, even into New York, into the months of October. But obviously none of that has happening and is happening this year in light of the pandemic. In addition, what we most love is to help each of you. The hotter the kitchen, the more that we love to work with you. That simply means where you have great opportunities or great challenges, that is our joy in the world of media sales. And tied to the pandemic, there has been certainly lots of that. Lastly, every Tuesday we run an advertising sales academy. It looks just like this. The difference is it's open mic. We're able to field your questions. We're able to handle your replies. And we send you tools and templates and checklists and URLs to go to. There's lots that we do. We've held that for the last 9 years. If you'd like to learn more, come into our website, powerhour.com. As Jed and I get settled in, every single time we share with you that we have three specific goals. So for our teleseminar today, our first goal is to share new ideas, to truly stretch and expand your thinking about the possibilities related to the particular topic. Number two, if there's something we share back and forth as we're bantering that you're already doing, then we just send you a virtual high five and confirm that what you're doing matches the very best in media sales and strategies around the world. And then third is the serendipitous, so that if I'm speaking about pineapple and you think apple, beautiful. If we start to cover something that sparks another thought, we call that the serendipitous. You're not working in your business for the purpose of this next hour. You're working strategically on your business. And the serendipitous is always a part of what we do. So, Jed, fruit and alliances. Let's talk about the first point in question we promised to cover. Are all raisins just a raisin? How do the raisins in our media sales presentations compare to the raisins of your media competitors? So, Jed, when I was working on the promo video for this teleseminar, sure enough, I had a box of raisins and a box of raisins in my hand, and it made me think about media sales presentations. Looking at those raisins, they're all raisins, right? Ho-hum. And if you're giving a media sales presentation at 1 o'clock and your competitor's giving one at 2 and another one's giving at 3, another one's at 4, it all looks like raisins. And to the outside viewer, technically that's true, right? They're all similar. Here's our similar approach. Here's how we work with chiropractors, or here's how we work with doctors or dentists or realtors or whatever your category is. You come in and you tell your story. Here's how we distribute. Here's how our readership. Here are the results. And we hope you'll buy an ad. Here is my rate card. And if you really think about a media sales presentation on some level, they are all the same. But the reality is they're not. Okay? They're not. And that means two things. One, it is your job to ask yourself, what sets apart my raisin? What makes my raisin a grape? A bit bigger and juicier? What makes my grape a watermelon, the juiciest of all, right, and the largest? Think about the size differences between a raisin and a grape and a watermelon. And the truth is that if your competitor comes in and gives a presentation and all it is worthy of a raisin, then you come in and give your watermelon presentation, isn't it obvious who closed that sale and who closed that deal and who is dominating the market? hence the theme of fruit and smart match alliances. So the reality is that that is your challenge, and that is your opportunity in a sales presentation to create the moment where you get a pivot. And a pivot simply means that a buyer is listening to your presentation, and somewhere along the way, not at the end, but somewhere along the way, a pivot happens. And a pivot happens because they interrupt you. They literally say, hang on, Jed, what did you just say? Hang on, Jed. What are you doing related to how you reach that audience or how much, right? Right, Jed? So in that moment, right, a buyer says, I got it. Or stop right there. I'm going to talk over you and interrupt you and clarify a point. Or they may literally say, stop right there. I'm buying. You follow me on that, Jed?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's, do you find that it's different pieces of information for different clients?
It absolutely is, and that is the point. I don't want any of us to have to guess what that pivot moment is, but we look for it in every presentation. Here's the reverse. If you're not getting a pivot, if you're not getting those moments, your presentation is not strong enough. Having seen thousands and thousands and thousands of media kits over the last 25 years, generally, Jed, within 15 minutes or less as I'm pouring through a media presentation, I'm going, this is flat. Why is this here? That doesn't pop. This doesn't work. That's how intimate we are related to that. If you have not had a review of your media kit or your media presentation, send us a follow-up note afterward, and we'll arrange a window that we can take a look at that. We are looking for the pivot. Back to your point, Jed, different buyers pivot around different topics and different areas. It might be your results. It might be your CERC. It might be value-added editorial. It might be something on your website, whatever that might be from that perspective. But let us share with you a little bit more about the granularity where these pivots come from. First off is that when you win a sale, what was it? Your challenge to ask yourself is, hey, I got that sale. Beautiful. And my companion question is always, and why did you get it? What did you learn from that? Okay, what did you learn from that? We sometimes call those veins of gold. It simply means that, hey, if you're winning it because your distribution, circulation, readership results is far superior than a competitor, then keep playing that tune. Keep leaning in and remembering how important that piece is, which, by the way, links up to Smart Match Alliances, how to have a watermelon of ways to win. We'll get to that as we go forward. So even though we've won a sale and won a deal, you go, isn't that good enough? And my response is, no, it's not, because there's something to be learned from that. Where was the pivot? What was the moment? Why did that happen from that perspective? It also syncs up with why did you lose a deal on the other side? Again, having been around media since the 80s, over three decades, nothing chaps me more than not getting a sale. Nothing is more difficult. While I love to win, and I do want to go in and give 10 presentations and get 10 sales, the reality is, if for anyone I don't get, if I don't learn why I didn't get it, that's a double failure. A, I lost the deal. Gulp. Doesn't feel good. Part B, the reality on this is that if I don't learn why I lost it, that's a double hit, because that means the next one and the next one and the next one, I could keep losing every step of the way. Take, for example, those of you that have direct mailed products, okay? One of the things that we learned with working with competitors is that they're not willing to show their postal receipts to validate. You go out and say you're mailing, 20,000 publications into the home improvement space, good, show me that receipt. And you might pause and go, Ernest, was that always part of the coaching or the presentation? Well, not in my earliest days. And it's possible that we may have been losing sales even though nobody said something until we realized the valuable component, the pivot moment when you put that on the table and go, here's my receipt for this month, last month, the prior month, how many months you want? You want to go back years? Oh, by the way, as you lower your voice, have you ever seen that from my competitor? You ever seen it from publication A or mailer B? And there's silence as you lower your voice because you learn. And that's one of those things. And that was a case of not learning about the loss of biz. It was just that there was something else there. We would talk about, yes, we mailed 20,000. Yes, we handled with the postal system. Yes. But it was like, wait a minute, back in. We learned also about the sharing and the showing of our distribution locations and also our printer invoices, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. So those pieces, challenge yourself to ask yourself every single time. To the media teams that we coach and guide, we literally have a central place, whether it's in a physical conference room pre-pandemic or whether it's online in a shared space. We physically have a space where we share what we win and why, and then what we lose and why. So there's also a shared team knowledge related to that. Any comments, Jed, or observations related to that point?
Do you find that it's about the information that's being given, or do you find that it's about the information or the way that the information is produced? So in other words, you know, one salesperson may get a lot of traction out of the, you know, the post office receipts as you mm-hmm. just use as an example.
Mm-hmm.
But another salesperson may not. Is some of it sort of the approach that someone uses, or do you find that data in and of itself is compelling regardless of how it's sort of introduced?
It's a great question. Let's imagine we're looking at that page in a media presentation, and I want to show you, Jed, I want to, you know, turn to that page and say, hey, what's very important is our good name is important, our integrity is important, but we've also learned over the years that there are times that there's been a conversation related to, what we mail. And I want to just share with you, we're going to be very transparent. Let me turn the page, you know, boom, here we go. And obviously, if I'm not in front of them, you know, here, just go to page number 3 in the PDF. There it is. And let's walk through it together. Okay, so I'm going to set the framework, but on that page, if I've made it so airtight, whether it's me giving a presentation after 30 years of doing this, or whether it's a brand new hire who's been on board 30 minutes, I want that page to sell itself, whether it's me or that newbie with 30 minutes of training that can deliver the same quality points, bullets, and what needs to be said on that page. So, you know, what I'm sort of saying is taking the person and the personality out of it. If you've created each page in your media kit and in your media presentation so that each page is a standalone, whether you're giving it to the decision maker or in some cases where there's a partner or there's an ad agency or there's a marketing department, that the presentation will stand by itself and sell itself with or without the human component. You follow me on that?
Yep.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, makes sense.
All right. Now you know, here comes the difference. Let me get even more granular, okay, because it's a great question. If I've done this for 30 years, I also can say to that potential buyer, and by the way, I also talked to each of your competitors when they first came on board, so I know you're a pool company, Jed. I've also talked to Rick's pool, Mary's pool, Bob's pool, and Tina's pool, and by the way, they all came on board because every single one of them asked my competitor for their postal receipts, of which they never generated, which means, by the way, that no one really knows how many they're putting out. They claim 40. I'm showing you I do 20, and I don't even know if they're putting out 10. Gulp, pause. I can do that. If somebody was a brand-new cubby 30 minutes in, they couldn't pull that out of their hat the same way that I could. Okay, so there's a subtlety, back to your question, there's a subtlety that I can close the biz because I know intimately, you know, the names of the other pool companies and how they've reacted and how they came on board. In fact, I can quote and say, look, Mary's Pool Company went out to my competitor Ness 6 times, you know, for the postal receipts, never got it. Not only did she pull, she's never been back in 10 years, and she was one of their biggest advertisers. Boom.
Right.
Now, that story I can deliver because of my seasoned tenure. A new cubby couldn't, but the page still stands. So the answer to your question is sort of yes and no. Yes, seasoned experience matters, but no, if the page is strong enough, it sells, not itself, but it's strong enough to be a standalone selling tool. Did you follow me on that?
Right. Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. So let's continue on point number one. There's a couple of additional areas I want to follow through on. In addition to the things that we've talked about, which sales you win, which ones you lose, where the pivot is, we're also going back to the two R's and USP. USP stands for your unique selling proposal or proposition, what sets you apart, and the two biggest components that we never waver around is your readership. And your readership can be everything from your print to your digital, to your Google Analytics that shows you who's coming to the website, to those that are coming to your blogs, to those that are coming to your social media. All of those things sync up. Your readership is a far more complex story than it was when I first began, and Jed, when you first began in media. We do factor all of those things in, and sometimes we forget how many of those things are out there. But readership broadly, subpoint all the other ways that you attract eyes. And part two, the second R is what? Results. We will never back off on that. Who does it go to, and what do you generate on the other side? And Jed, in the world of media bids, this is near and dear to your heart. I know how important that piece is, because ultimately, it can be one reader who makes 10,000 buys, mission accomplished. Or it's 10,000 buys for 10,000 readers. It also works. In the end, those results certainly matter. But it's also important, as each of you think about your direct competitors in the marketplace, that you need to match and need to exceed what they are doing. Match and exceed. We're back to raisins, grapes, and watermelons, right? If they're out with a watermelon and you think you're going to go in and drive sales or maintain biz or keep renewals because you're a raisin, it's not going to happen. And by the way, if they're a watermelon and you're a grape, it's still not going to happen. Think about those size differentials and in the minds and the decision-making process of those who are buying the media from you or not, they are putting you in a box. They're not going to declare the fruit bowl that we're talking about here, but can I tell you, they know that's a must-buy, I'm never canceling. This one we've done, let's see how it evaluates. And this one I'm never buying. There's three buckets, and you've got to ask yourself, which bucket are you in? And there are some of those things related to that must-buy. There are some of those things that show up. If you want to know how you're doing or how competitors are doing, take a look at your ad drop report. We've covered this in prior teleseminars over the years. Your ad drop report of a competitor tells you exactly what's going on. How much new business coming in print and digital? How much is going back out? Tells you about what's going on. How many went up in size? How many went down in size? And by the way, why? What happens when you see 10 ads that all increased in size? You go, oh, look at that. They're killing it. No, they're not. They had to give that away in order to get the renewal because they're not doing the job. Or ads that got reduced, and you go, wow, I wonder what happened there. Was that because the ads weren't working, or is that because of the tightening of a budget? What were those things? You have to know the answer to that. It also syncs up to the renewal percentage, that you can see what's happening on your side of the house. 10 renewals this month. Did you get all 10? Gee, you must be a watermelon in the mind of your advertisers. You are a must-buy. But if you only renewed one of 10, you're a raisin. You really don't matter, and you got walked out of 9, and that hurts because guess what? Former advertisers are 3 and 4 and 5x more difficult to get back in, and you do not want a prospect pool. You do not want to go out and say, gee, in the marketplace I have, 75 car dealerships and, 40 of them are former advertisers. That's not a good feeling. Work your tail off to keep them in there, okay? Also, watch the team tenure. We're right back to talking about sort of are you a raisin or where are you fitting in the mind of the mindset. What is the team tenure of your team? Meaning how long have people been on board? What is the team tenure of those from your competitors? How easy is it to look? Pull up their LinkedIn profile. You can see the turnover on that team. You can see the tenure of that team. Who are you competing with is another way to compare yourself. Are you a raisin, grape, or watermelon? You have another opportunity to look at your case studies, your testimonials, and how you line up with your ability to walk in and say, look, I'm going to give you a media presentation, but before we do that, I've got 540 testimonials that I want to walk you through to tell you about our advertisers and how pleased they are. By the way, because you're a pool company, I've got three case studies and 18 testimonials to show you specifically to pool companies and what we've done. That's a compelling presentation. You haven't even gotten to your media kit and your media presentation. You've already potentially closed the sale and made a pivot right there when a buyer says, I've never been given a presentation that looks like this. Your distribution list is another one of those. The sharing and the showing of your distribution. We're in all the grocery stores or all the drug stores or we're in all the doctor's offices or we're in all the hospitals. Here are the things that we do. Or we're in the RAC programs where nobody else is. Or here's what else we've done on the digital side. Or here's our SEO. Or here's our email newsletter. You've got all of these pieces to talk about from that perspective. So recognize that your visibility and what sets you apart versus your competitor determines whether you're a raisin, grape, or watermelon. And then, of course, Jed, I'll just pause right here because I saved the most important fruit of all. We call it the phone tracking fruit, that you have your phone tracking, that you know what your trends are, and you know how you compare to competitors. And, Jed, please take a moment to talk about our passion related to phone tracking and what that means from a media buyer's perspective and ultimately the results on the other side. Could you jump in on that one?
Sure. I mean, one of the things we do a lot at MediaBiz, and I strongly recommend for any publication out there to do as well, is we track the results that are generated from every ad that we put out there. So what we do at MediaBiz, because we're dealing primarily with national companies or regional or national companies, is we put unique 800 numbers into every ad that we put out. And what this allows us to do is to see exactly who is responding to an ad. We're able to see definitively what it is that an ad is producing. And this gives us enormous insight, in many cases more insight than the advertiser themselves has, into how an ad is working. And one of the things that you find when you start to do this is that a lot of the objections that you typically hear about print, that people have moved to social media advertising or internet advertising or whatever it may be, Groupon, whatever it may be, once you start getting information about the results that print is generating, you begin to see quickly that print is generating quality of result that no other medium can really compare to. We typically see about a 40% conversion rate between phone calls and sales, which is just unheard of, right? I mean, if you're doing internet advertising, if you're doing advertising in other mediums, it's a pretty good day if you can get to 1%. And so this is important because it allows you to speak the language to advertisers that they're hearing from other mediums. And as a result, it allows you to really make the case to advertisers that print advertising is working and is in fact a really valuable investment. It's an easy thing to do. As Ernest said, it's something that everyone should be doing. And there's various ways of doing it. We use 800 numbers. You can do website tracking. You can do you can even come up with sort of ways of trying to track in-store appearances, whether it be with a restaurant or whatever it may be, by having a special in the ad, by having some way that the customer is sort of forced to give information. One of the things which is undoubtedly true, and I'm sure that everyone on the call has run into this, is that the least trustworthy person here is the advertiser. Oftentimes they just really have no idea what an ad is generating, and that's why they like a lot of these online services so much, because they offer ready-made dashboards that are ready to go, that are easy to see, and so they trust them. Where print print publications have fallen short is by not providing the same type of information and not providing the same tools that allow an advertiser to see how they're doing. So in absence of sort of a ready-made tool like that, it's really incumbent upon publications to provide that information for advertisers. And you will find, to Ernest's point, It completely changes the sales dynamic. When you're able to say to an advertiser, you sell mattresses, we know we can deliver mattresses to you. And here's why I know that. Because previous mattress stores have generated, 15 to 20 calls per ad, and here's the data to show that, that it happened. And, you know, and if and so it no longer becomes a question about whether or not the ad will work or whether or not the ad did work. It's a question of, we have customers, and if you want access to these customers, you need to pay us, right, in some form or another, right? And so that's you know, that's why tracking is really so important. And it, you know, a lot of publications are hesitant to sort of try it. They're hesitant to kind of go down that path. I think that it's just kind of a lack of confidence about you know, where it is that they, you know, what it is that they're producing. But it's a mistake because. You know, not every advertiser is going to be a home run for every publication, but you will find groups of advertisers that are, right, that really resonate with your audience. And by finding, by tracking that information, it gives you the ability to tell that good story to advertisers who are working. And then also for advertisers who aren't working, to be able to tell them, you know, we've got a problem here. You know, we need to change something. Maybe the offer in the ad needs to be different. Maybe the ad needs to be bigger or smaller or in a different location, something. But it allows you to sort of proactively say to the advertiser, here's the data about what your ad is producing. Let's change it, right? Which is a much, much different conversation, in my experience, than an advertiser saying to you, why are you here looking for a renewal? I didn't get anything from my last ad. You know, when you have data, You can say, well, wait a second, yes, you did. I'm looking at it here. You got 15 phone calls from your last ad, or, you know, or you got 3, right? It, whatever it may be, you can provide information that allows you to really take control of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. So. Spot on, absolutely. And because advertisers expect this, guess what? We have to deliver it on that side. So by running ads without a level of tracking, phone tracking, web tracking, the tracking of forms, the tracking of inbound leads, that is an absolute must, which is a bit of a pivot into our second key area that we promised to talk about. The second key question is, how do Smart Match Alliances showcase your media solutions as the right and best raisin and best advertising solution, right? The best raisin of all. And how do we create that raisin and make it that a grape and into a watermelon, right? And that brings us into the subject of Smart Match Alliances. I wrote a book 13 years ago titled Smart Match Alliances. You can purchase the book on our website at Power Hour. But the point of what Smart Match Alliances do and why this conversation and why it's so relevant, it literally is the cornerstone of what is a Smart Match Alliance and how do you deploy it. And as a media team and media group, you are perfectly poised for Smart Match Alliances. It's the mathematical equation of 1 + 1 = 5. It's that classic example of an attorney can refer to a CPA and a CPA can refer back to a financial planner, but that's a one-to-one. What we're looking for is in a much larger way. Yes, you could have a relationship between an attorney and a lawyer because they pass leads back and forth. We're looking for something much larger. That's one fish in the ocean, or that's one grape in the bowl. We want all the grapes in the bowl. We want to know how to reach all of the attorneys or all of the CPAs and capture all of the leads. It's to play so much bigger than you've possibly imagined. A little quick story related to this. I stumbled into Smart Match Alliances several times in my media world by accident. Years ago, Jed, I shared the example that I had a publication in California. I had a radio station. Frankly, in those days, they reached out to me and said, look, we need more print visibility. And I said, wow, I'd love the radio exposure for my magazine. And they said, that's great, but we also have a relationship with the ski resort about an hour away. And so that would give you also ski passes in conjunction. The ski resort came to me and said, gee, Ernest, we really would like more print visibility that goes in conjunction with our radio. This was the the most classic example in the 80s, Jed, that I sort of stumbled into it. The radio station to me, I'm to them. We're looping in the ski resort, and suddenly I had unlimited ski passes. I had visibility on a top radio station, and they had print, and that's what they wanted. And it was this wonderful win-win, 1 + 1 = 5. The ski resort was one of the biggest advertisers in the winter. The radio station was the top radio station on the FM side in those days, and I was whistling Dixie. I had unbelievable visibility. So when I sat down and gave my media presentation and said, look, I know there's other choices and options, but let me share with you what I'm doing with the top radio station. Let me tell you about their reach and visibility. Oh, here, let me play for you one of the audio spots. Oh, and by the way, we also have this linked up with the ski resort. Let me tell you why we have that linked up. And it was like, it was just this absolute magical moment. There are times along the way where there's a convergence in life that if you just slow down long enough to go, wow, that was pretty amazing, how do I go do that again? We call that listening to the whisper, right? Listen closely, lean in, take a pause, and we also call that veins of gold. If something's working well with one opportunity or one path, go do it a second time. And if you can do it a second time, go do it a third or fourth. We're often asked, related to Smart Match Alliances, how do I select those partnerships? Ernest, how did you back in with the radio station? How did that tie into the ski resort? It comes in, it syncs up for us by looking at the professional organizations. The fastest way to identify a Smart Match Alliance partner or partnership goes like this. If you're selling ads to realtors, go look at your professional organization, go look at your membership directory, and ask yourself, where are there other vendors or suppliers that sell something to realtors so that they have the same audience as I do, but they're not my competitor? Maybe they build websites for realtors. Maybe they put up signs for realtors. Maybe they're the plumbing company that does all the work for the realtors in the market. Whatever it might be, that's the fastest and easiest way to take a quick cut to identify where those relationships are. My example of the radio and the ski resort was a bit more random. That was just a fortuitous moment. That's one of those things where the sun, the moon, and the earth line up, and you go, dang, look how amazing this is. But if we really had a formulaic approach, the professional organizations that you're a member of that have your ideal and perfect clients on the other side that you want to be selling ads to, that's the easiest way to identify. That's step one. Step two, the power of LinkedIn. Go do your research. And you pause and go, well, that's interesting, Ernest, because there are three companies that build websites for realtors. But when I go into LinkedIn, company one has 3 employees. When I go into LinkedIn, company B has 23, and company C has 133. Which is our best alliance, partner, and partnership with our media company? Most likely the company that has a larger team, generally a larger footprint, because it also means they're, in theory, driving more revenue to support all those team members. And it also means, in general, broadly, not always, that you have that they also have the largest marketing footprint to give you the visibility for your media solutions. Okay? So you're trying to sell ads. They're selling websites. Another company is selling software, all into the same array of realtors, hence Smart Match Alliances. But then you have to take it a step further. You've got to drill it down even more granularly. You've got to reach out and go identify. Imagine if you had 3 companies that all build websites and they all have the same number of team members. Let's call it 20. So then you pause and say, Ernest, which one do I want to, you know, partner with, right? Where is the alliance opportunity? And that means you need to have a conversation with each of the founders of those companies or the presidents or the CEOs and talk to them about what they're doing. One may say, yo, yeah, realtors is just one of our verticals, but we also have other verticals that we build websites. Okay. Another one said, the second one says, yeah, this is great, but I think we're going to sell the company in a year or two. And the third one says, I live and breathe every website for every realtor, and this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life. Whoa, that's an engaged partner and partnership. So you've got to use some judgment when you're identifying, and then you have to take it even more granular and begin to talk to them about what their marketing footprint is. Because what you're basically looking to decide is who is the best partner and who can help your media team get the most visibility and exposure. And if it is that third group that lives and breathes and dreams, and suddenly they're now your partner and partnership, let's imagine that we're going to do next month a shared webinar together. Okay, and they're going to send it out across their media channels to all those realtors, and you're going to send it out across all your media channels, and some of your realtors are going to say, wow, you partnered with, you know, Sam or Mary's website company. They're the best. so excited. Or, gee, they're going to say, hey, Ernest, and hey, Jed, everywhere I turn, I see your name. And I'm going to, of course, be at that webinar come next month. That's what you're looking for. And you've got to do your homework in order to address that. And once you do that, then you begin to back into the, what those opportunities look like. Pre-pandemic, you could go with Sam's website company, and you could go do some nice roundtables. You could educate those realtors. This was sort of that in-person, sort of high-end. You might just be doing the brokers. You might be at a nice country club. You might take them DC fishing. You might take them golfing. You know, there's so many nice ways to work together like that. Pre-pandemic, you know, we might partner at trade shows. We might do some work related to that, or we might go to the trade show organizers, and we might produce their guide. And the prominent advertiser in there is Sam's websites, all tying into those realtors as well. Now, realizing that in this pandemic, some of these in-person examples at this moment are there, they may need to be lit back up as we go into 2021. But up until this year, these were always prime opportunities to partner with other vendors who all serve realtors. You're trying to sell ads, and they're trying to sell their products and solutions, and they're wonderful Smart Match Alliance opportunities. Let me give you a couple more examples, and then I'll pause, and I'll have Jed jump in here as well. Newsletter partnerships. You're going to tuck something in about their website solutions. They're going to They are going to tuck something in to their e-newsletter marketing, to their realtors, talking about how great your media solutions are, or a particular article, or a particular survey, or white paper, whatever that might be. Classic pointing back and forth using our email newsletter is another one of those examples. Another example, LinkedIn. You post something on LinkedIn, you tag them. You craft a video that is with them. They craft videos that are with you. You share them back and forth. You tag each other back and forth utilizing that. Same rules apply for Facebook. They may say, oh, yeah, one of the things we've done is we've built the largest Facebook group in our market for realtors. And you learn and go, wow, that's my partner. Guess who gets access in a very big and bold way into that Facebook group where all those realtors are. And even if they are, even if that website company it does not have a big footprint on Facebook, you can still do co-marketing and co-branding to each other, and then you could go identify the largest group for Facebook, on Facebook for realtors that you can co-market back and forth. These are just all of these Smart Match Alliance possibilities in a very creative way. Jed, I'm just going to pause here because I have another half dozen more examples of these, but any comments or observations about some that I've shared so far?
I mean, maybe you could sort of speak to the idea of, I mean, one of the things that I've found when talking to especially media groups about alliances is I think that there's a real tendency among, and I'll pick on publications just because it's the industry that I know the best, but I have a sense that it's probably more true for publications than it is for many other types of industry, and they tend to be very, very suspicious of sharing any information about their customers, their readership, their advertisers, whatever it may be, and it seems like these types of partnerships only work right if there's a give and take both ways, right? Both parties have to win. Both parties have to feel like they're getting something of value. It can't just be a one way street. So how do you address the sort of inherent suspicion that many companies have around working with anyone?
What a great question. There is nothing to share. You know, if we were partnering with, let's imagine we're selling ads to realtors. Let's imagine our CRM has 1,000 realtors, okay? Let's imagine we're partnering with, you know, Sam's website company, and they're out in the marketplace, and they have 1,000 realtors. We're not swapping CRMs. They have their list. We have ours. We send to our newsletter list. They send to theirs. Is it likely we cross over Of course it is. We probably crossed over, who knows, 90% or more. So there's nothing really to exchange, quite honestly. So there's never any giving up. Now, if we put on an educational webinar sponsored by both of us and we have 40 attendees, are we going to share that back and forth? Of course we are. But other than that, that's it. So there's never any crossing lines or anything along those lines. That's a great question, but we don't ever bump into that with Smart Match alliances.
Right.
Okay.
Makes sense. So if a trade show said to you, "Hey, we'd love for you to do our program, right?"
Mm-hmm.
But what we would also love is for you to send out an email to all of your advertisers, letting them know about the trade show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that, you would say, okay, fine, as long as we're the one sending it, right? We're not going to give you a list.
Yeah.
We're going to, right.
Right.
Okay.
That's it. Perfect. That's it. Word for word. You got it. Exactly. So there's never any crossing the lines, but I'm glad you are bringing that up. What's proprietary for each remains. Now, let's take that example, and we craft a program guide for a trade show, and that's one of our Smart Match alliances. Then we are going to partner with our other Smart Match Alliance partner, the company Sam, who builds the websites for the realtors, and Sam's going to have some nice prominent ads. And I might go to Sam and go, "Hey, well, you're going to put those ads. Why don't we do a drawing for a $500 comprehensive web review, and we'll have a little drawing. And by the way, all the entries that come in, we'll get them. We'll put them in our database, those realtors, and we'll also share them with you, your alliance partner." Sam goes, "Pshaw, that's beautiful." So there's an opportunity to go gather the leads for those that are going to come to that trade show, sharing that with Sam, who's also going to be in the program. And, of course, the association is delighted that we went out and generated revenue for that program, which could go on to become a revenue share or some kind of revenue split on that side, so they win. That's a beautiful example of a three-way Smart Match alliance. Sometimes these examples just have to be teased out a little further and a little further. But I want all of you to know, on the media side, you are an unbelievable Smart Match Alliance partner. You bring such value that when you go out into the marketplace and you present these kinds of ideas, there is no partner that will not agree, meaning they would be insane to not agree. Let me reverse it. If I'm over here, Sam's website, and I'm over here selling ads into realtors, and you came to me about working with me because of your big media voice working with realtors, I would salivate to partner with you. Okay, so when we think about Smart Match alliances, we think about what is the I wish for you as media experts and your media solutions, and then who you want to partner with is a really easy yes. Let's continue, Jed. I've got another quick half dozen examples that I'm going to share. Here's another example. Partnering with your advertisers can also create a very interesting Smart Match alliance. So I might, let's go back to realtors, using that example for us today. I might speak to a broker and they say, "Boy, we're working really very aggressively on recruiting new realtors and bringing realtors from other competitors over. We're going to host a program," to which I would say, as a media team, "Hey, we'll host it for you. We'll moderate it for you. We'll do all of these pieces. We'll help you recruit. And by the way, we also have Sam's website, and he would love to come in and take a few minutes in the course of this baby webinar or this marketing piece talking about how good your site is, how good your SEO is, and he could also be a contributor." Another example of Smart Match alliances. In that quick example, that's partnering with advertisers. Here's another example, and this is one that we really loved working with. We have a client that works in the motorcycle space. They focus on the motorcycle sector, and they went out to the manufacturer of one of the leading manufacturing companies in the world, and they built a Smart Match alliance back and forth. While you're getting information of who's buying your motorcycles, while you're getting warranty information, while you're getting information from your dealers, we would like access to that to further enrich our distribution to those who just bought motorcycles, and then in exchange with the manufacturer, we'll give you added visibility on the other side. It is one of our absolute best examples, partnering with those who manufacture a something for that particular sector. So, for example, another one would be if I were selling ads to chiropractors and I were to partner with one of the leading companies that built equipment or chiropractic beds or tools or whatever that might be. That is another one of those alliances. Similar story. Here comes another Smart Match Alliance. Years and years ago, working with a company that sold ads to golf courses and private country clubs. Smart Match Alliance there was we got access to their membership list. In exchange, we gave free ads and editorials to those golf clubs and country clubs because we really were doing other wraparound sales. So what we wanted was the most current and best list of who were their members each year. In exchange, we gave them free advertising, and then we sold other related ads on the back end. Another unbelievable example from that perspective. You know, these kinds of examples, just a couple of other ones where we do the similar kind of Smart Match alliances, and we do industry surveys. We do white papers that shows our thought leadership. These are the kinds of things behind the scenes. It takes just a little element of creativity to imagine the possibility and then a way to leverage it and maximize it, something that we've been working with our media clients over the last 25 years. And certainly, as you listen to our teleseminar today, the passion for this, the goal is how do I create my raisin to become a grape and a grape to become a watermelon? All of that syncs up. We need a bigger story. We need a bigger footprint. We need something that sets us apart. Okay. For example, we have another media client that we're working with directly, actually, in the realtor space, that we're doing a nationwide survey of realtors, the state of the state of what's happening post-pandemic or current pandemic, coupled with what's happening in the realtor sector. And there is so much going on. Inventory that's at a 30-year low, home builders having the best year in 15 years, inventory so skinny that literally buyers can't find what they want to buy. There's this complete reset happening, and we're in the middle of this survey, which will go on to become a series of white papers, which will go on to become a series of webinar educational programs, and our media client is partnering directly with NAR, the National Association of Realtors. So this is a wonderful example of Smart Match alliances and finishing the sentence, I wish. Jed, additional comments regarding that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great way to think about growing a business. I mean, there's so many possibilities, right? And and I think that I think very often the challenge is just sort of reaching the right person in your potential partner company to be able to sort of explain your vision, right? But once you can do that, they usually, you know, very often they're just as excited about it as you are. It's just, in my experience, it's finding that right person is really the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in any organization, there may only be, a handful of people who sort of, are looking at the world the way you are.
You are right. There will be those who get it and those that don't. But in your research, you know why you partnered with Sam's website company, because maybe he and the two nearby competitors all had 20 people, 20 employees, but he had the bigger vision for an alliance, or you went to Sam's website company because they're totally committed 7 days a week to selling ads to realtors, and that passion links up with your passion to do what? Sell ads to realtors as well, right? It all goes in, but it does take that level of research. And let's be honest, if I go to my professional organization, and I look at you're working with realtors, Sam is maybe one of 10 companies that build websites, but not just websites. There's another 10 companies that do software, and there may be another 4 companies that do the signs that go in the yard. I mean, there's all these other services, so I don't have to just lock in with even the category of website. I may speak to 5 companies that build websites, and they're all a stick in the mud, and none wowed me. I may move on to another category. There's nothing magical at the category. What's magical is we sell a product or service to realtors, but we're not competitors. That's the key piece. Okay? So coming around to Ben, let me say some closing words. I promise to talk today about watermelons, grapes, and raisins, right? An array of fruit.
Yeah, you didn't even touch on watermelons.
Right?
You didn't even touch on watermelons.
we're going to finish big. Watermelons, all right? That's the visual. You are a must-buy. That is that you're you know, every advertiser, 100% renewal and retention. And by the way, we do have media groups that renew at a 90 and 95% in their category. That's how important they are. They are a must-buy. They are a watermelon. But in order to be a watermelon, you have to earn the right to be a watermelon. You have to go big. You have to win big. You have to dominate your competitors. Little whisper here. We sometimes dominate competitors because we acquire them. We take them out of the market. Okay, a little side note, even in this downturn in this pandemic, weak competitors may turn the lights off or we may acquire them for 20 cents on the dollar. We did this in 2008 to 2012 in the downturn on the housing side and the housing and banking crises, and we're seeing it likewise in this pandemic. So recognize that is another way that we dominate. But most importantly, in the minds of our buyers, our ad agencies, and our decision makers, grapes. Grapes is really about you've got to pick your advantages. You've got to work on your Smart Match Alliance strategies. You need to work smart. You need to think about this is our 2021 budget selling season. We spoke, Jed and myself spoke to all of you in September about this very topic. This is prime season for setting the stage for next year. So from a grape point of perspective, squeeze the juice from that, play big with your Smart Match Alliances, and be and become a watermelon going into the end of this year, okay? And the raisin piece, to close out on that side, being a raisin like every other raisin is not a good place to be. It is the tail of the dog. It is not where you want to be. And that, if you find yourself going, hey, you know, I sell two ads and I lose two ads, that's not a lot of fun. But there is no doubt that in light of this pandemic, we are squeezing the juice from a raisin. It is not easy. We are working harder than ever. So coming all the way back around as well, to our metaphor related to raisins, it is difficult. We are working with our advertisers. You've heard us even in our teleseminars, the kind of tone appropriate, the kind of messaging that we're doing related to this current pandemic. Here is the news. We will get through it, of course, and here's the other part of that news. We're going to get to the other side of it, but for right now, we're working harder than ever. So take what you've learned from this teleseminar and deploy it. Take what we've covered here today and utilize it immediately. Every teleseminar that we come in and out of is intended for you to be able to listen, learn, and do it. And that's always our promise over the last 25 years, okay? Jed, some closing words as we wrap up here, please.
Yeah, you know, thanks to Ernest for this fruit basket of ideas, I think that there's, you know, hopefully some real actionable items that people can take advantage of. If you have questions about media bids or would like to talk more about call tracking or different ways that can be set up, please feel free to get in touch with us, mediabids.com, or we'll also send a follow-up email and information's on there as well.
Perfect. And Jed, it's always a pleasure working here together. Thank you so much for all of the years that we have hosted these educational programs for media sales teams and leaders. And thank you for the support from your team at MediaBids. I encourage each of you and all of you to go visit MediaBids.com if you're not already working with them. They do business the old-fashioned way, which simply means they are a company of their word and a team of their word, and they will deliver impeccably. And then certainly take a look at our website, powerhour.com. We just celebrated our 25th year, and thank you so much to all of you. We really have enjoyed the journey every step of the way. There is a winning formula to being successful in media sales. Step by step, every piece matters. It's like a chain or a chain link. Every link matters. Don't skip one. Don't let one chain break along the way. Jed, a pleasure. We'll see all of you next month. Take care and make it a great day.
Thanks, you too. Thanks, everyone.